This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel. She's here with our legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Well, good morning, Mayor Charlotte.
Good morning. So, cold and sunny morning and first week of the legislature.
Yes, and all the legislators have gone home.
Really?
They usually, on the first week of the session, they always leave on the Friday. Actually, they leave on Thursday afternoon, and so they've all gone home for the weekend. And the reason for that is because they have to print up all these bills and get them in the official books and do analysis of them, and it takes a while to get rolling on that. So that's why they don't work the first weekend.
And I thought the reason for it was because they wanted to save all the work for the last week.
Well, that's true, too, as we know.
So what have we seen so far in the first 3 days?
Well, of course, we heard the governor's state of the state, which had heavy emphasis on a large number of crime bills, dealing with three strikes you're out, curfews, DWI, crimes to increase the penalty for hurting social workers.
Did you say curfews?
Yes, allowing a municipality to pass a curfew if they want. It wouldn't be a statewide curfew bill. It would just enable communities to pass their own curfew law, which they can't
do.
Yes.
That's a little scary.
Well, that's what the ACLU thinks.
Excellent. Okay.
And then, of course, the driver's license, the immigrant driver's license bills. I checked the messages from the governor, because this is a 30-day session where we only deal with the budget by law, by constitution, but the governor can put other issues on what's called the call, C-A-L-L, and those issues can then be discussed that don't have anything to do with money. And so she has to issue a message enabling a piece of legislation to actually be discussed. And she's done 30 messages to the House and 11 messages to the Senate, and we anticipate more messages coming down next week.
What are the messages we've seen so far?
Well, they're mostly on the crime bills and, of course, the driver's license bill, and there's some water infrastructure messages, which probably would be germane anyway because they're dealing with money.
So what actions, if any, have we seen yet?
Well, as I said, they don't do much the first week, but they did have a hearing on the three strikes you're out law and on the immigrant driver's license bill, one of the House versions. And it is the driver's license version that the governor favors.
Now, that is the one that would take away official immigrants' driver's licenses and replace them with one-year driving permit. Certificates, which are a lot less desirable for the people who would have to have them.
Yes, and there are some quite onerous restrictions on those, and you have to have a background check, obviously, and fingerprints, and then they run it through, the federal department, and so it would really discourage people from getting those driving certificates because of the background checks and fingerprints, not because I think that people, most undocumented that have driver's licenses are just regular working people.
Right.
And they are not committing crimes, but there's a lot of fear that this kind of check would keep people from actually going and getting those certificates. And then we're back to where we were before, where we have people driving. They don't have insurance. They don't have an ID so that they can report crimes against them. The Domestic Violence Coalition is very concerned because when people have identification and they have cars so they can leave bad situations, but they have IDs, they're more likely to report crimes.
Right. It's the whole argument in favor of passing the driver's license law 13 years ago, that we're sort of seeing all over again, the same
right.
set of arguments. And every year, Governor Martinez has tried to repeal that driver's license law, but it has actually worked.
Yes. Well, from the perspective of that, we have people now driving on our streets that have insurance.
So there are other versions of a new driver's license bill that are going to go through the House of Representatives here in New Mexico?
Well, that's a good question, because when the governor sent her message down, she was very specific that it only applied to that one bill. Now, there are several other bills in the House, and Stephanie Garcia Richard from Los Alamos has a real ID bill that would create a real ID identification, not a driver's license. So anybody who wanted to get identification that's real ID approved could do that. And then the rest of us could just keep our regular driver's licenses, and the undocumented could keep their regular driver's license. I don't know if that bill is going to get a hearing. But yesterday, Senator Daniel Ivy Soto introduced the Senate version of the driver's license bill, which actually passed the Senate last session with only 3 votes against. So it had strong bipartisan Republican-Democratic support. And so he's introduced that exact bill, which creates the real ID and then leaves the driver's license situation the way it is for the rest of us who don't want a real ID and for undocumented.
So if that bill, as it does seem likely to do, passes the Senate and the other bill passes the House, what do we have?
What will happen? Well, that remains to be seen. Will the House hear the Senate bill? Will the Senate take the House bill and amend the Senate bill into it? We don't know.
Or will they arm wrestle?
Or will nothing happen?
Or will nothing happen?
Which, you know, is posing, which will pose a problem for some people who can't get on federal facilities now because they don't have the proper form of identification.
Although now a passport will do that. So if you have a
yes.
passport, you can go to your federal facility.
Right, and we do know that airline travel is still fine with the current New Mexico driver's license for till 2018.
Right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to the Radio Cafe and just about every other news outlet in the state of New Mexico on that. What about the budget, which is the whole reason we are here?
Yes. Oh, it's grim. It's grim, grim, grim news.
Really?
The Senate Finance Committee had a presentation on Wednesday afternoon from the UNM Bureau of Business and Economic Research, and they really looked at the structural economy for New Mexico, looking at our sources of revenue and all of our expenses. And the picture is bleak, because right now, at the end of 2014, the fiscal year 14, which would have been June of 2014, we in our revenue sources relied 35% of our total general fund amount was from oil and gas revenues. And this is why that we are having such difficulty right now with our revenue, because the price of a barrel of oil has declined. We're below $27 now. The price of natural gas has declined into the $2.50 range for cubic, whatever, however they measure that. And it has dramatically impacted our revenue. To the extent that what the finance committees are projecting is that we went from expecting $230 million of new revenue at the end of December to probably zero new revenue.
That means we have to live on essentially last year's budget.
Right, and what that means to a lot of departments of government, to the public schools, is a cut, because expenses have been going up,
yeah,
and now they will be receiving no money to help compensate that. So we're in a big problem. Not as bad as 2009, when we had to cut $1 billion from our state budget.
Yeah.
But we're looking at flat revenues, which will have its own ramifications.
I have an idea of how to solve the budget problem. Get
yeah.
the state cops to give large tickets to everybody who tailgates at 80 miles an hour on I-25.
Yes, that wouldn't that be nice?
That would be very nice.
I'm sure you've never been one of those tailgaters, though.
No, but I've been tailgated.
You've been tailgated, yes.
Those people are scary, and they should be fined, and that money should go to the state budget. Okay, that's my 2 cents for today.
Right.
So there's, I mean, what do you do in that case? I mean, you can always raise taxes, but governors don't like to do that, and legislatures don't like to do that. What else can you do?
Well, some legislators do. It's interesting that our conservative Senate finance chair, John Arthur Smith, and he's a conservative Democrat from the southern part of the state, he was even saying at telling people we might have to look at repealing some taxes. Now, of course,
repealing taxes?
Yeah, repealing some tax cuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. No. Well, the governor does have proposals to increase, to decrease some taxes, but those are not going to pass, especially in the Senate. But, of course, that's not, Senator Smith's idea is not going to pass either, because the governor won't sign any repeals of tax cuts. So we're going to, there's supposed to be a new revenue report, official consensus revenue report, coming out early next week. And we'll see how bad it is. But all the Appropriations and Finance Committee members are saying flat budget, flat budget. And what will happen is then they'll start going through department by department and deciding how much we're going to cut. And we know that Medicaid said they need $85 million just to meet our current levels. We know that the corrections department needs an increase because they don't have enough staff and they're paying all corrections officers gobs of overtime, and that it's a dangerous situation. We've had a lot of testimony, heard a lot of testimony from the corrections department secretary. So there are some major areas where we got to figure out some money. And education, transportation costs are increasing, insurance costs are increasing. And if they're looking at a flat budget, they're looking at cuts.
Why are transportation costs increasing if the price of gas is decreasing?
Well, because you have other issues around buses. A lot of departments, schools contract with outside contractors for buses, and the insurance costs, health insurance costs, and even transportation insurance costs, property insurance costs are all going up too.
So we're in a difficult situation. Let's talk about some of those tax cuts that they're looking at repealing. When did those taxes get cut, and on whom were those taxes the most burdensome?
Well, you'll remember in 2013, let's see, we're in 16, 2000, maybe it was 14, where at the very end of the legislative session, this very large, primarily corporate tax cut was sort of rammed through the session. It did have the fix on the film tax so that we could go back to giving more film credit, tax credits, but it was a big package that didn't really get properly vetted by anybody in the House, and only by a few people in the Senate, and that passed. And that's one of the things that's happening is the fiscal impact of that tax cut was underestimated, and so there's been much more money returned than people anticipated.
I'm remembering that I think it was Senator Peter Wirth had talked about equalizing tax rates for New Mexico corporations and out-of-state corporations.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of that was in that tax bill, but that wasn't where the problem was. It was the And then in the time that Governor Martinez has been in, there have been tax cuts almost every year, different kinds of tax cuts for different areas of business.
And so the idea of tax cuts is not, hey, friends, you get a tax cut, but to stimulate the economy.
Right, right.
And but that, does it work?
Well, it hasn't happened so far. You know, New Mexico has the highest unemployment rate in the country at 6.8%. We're the only state in the Southwest that's losing population. People are leaving. Every other Southwest state, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, is having people come in because their economies are good, and people are leaving our state because the economy is so bad. So whatever tax cuts we've done, that hasn't quite been the solution to our economic problem, to our structural revenue problem. And we've really got to do something about that.
Now, there are there's talk about rebuilding an economy on things that diversify our revenue away from mainly oil and gas to other things, mm-hmm. as well. The film industry is one of those. I think, you know, aerospace and spaceports and things like that were supposed to be helpful.
An alternative energy, solar
and wind in this gigantic, windy, sunny state with lots of public land.
Right.
Any movement on that? And any projections on what kind of revenue alternative energy could generate?
Well, until the legislature and the administration, whoever it is, really sit down and look at our tax structure and try to figure out where we should be going and really make a plan of how to get there, nothing's going to change. When Governor Richardson came in 2003, he created this Blue Ribbon Tax Committee. And that committee had legislators and expert people from the outside on it. And they met for like a year, and they looked at our tax structure. And they came out with some recommendations. But nothing happened because of the controversy around how we do taxes and who gets taxed and who gets tax credits and who gets exemptions. We have, the last study that was done, which is not too long ago, we give over $1 billion in tax credits and tax exemptions to various groups. And I know because I've been part of trying to get those for various groups. But we don't look at them and see, do we really need to be still giving this tax credit to this entity? And
yeah.
And we give it to the most bizarre things. I remember one year we passed it so to give gross receipts tax exemption on boxing matches. Really, did we need to do that?
Wow.
And it's an insignificant amount of money, but we have hundreds of tax credits and tax exemptions that if we got rid of all of them and created a smaller tax, would we still get the same revenue or more? But we don't plan that way.
Yeah, and that requires a kind of non-political thinking.
Right.
That
right.
requires, like, let's look at the spreadsheets here and do the calculations. I think one of the things about tax credits, and we're looking at industries like the windmill industry.
Mm-hmm.
The windmill industry needed help and support and tax credits and all that kind of thing to get off the ground. And in a lot of places, it's off the ground and those tax credits are being taken away, not in a punitive way, but because the industry is now standing on its own 2 feet.
Yeah, I can't speak specifically to that, but that concept is the right concept, that you help a business get going and then you you know, let them stand on their own. Now, we are trying to renew the solar tax credits in New Mexico, and the federal government and the Congress just renewed the federal tax credits. And that industry is still growing. But we give oil and gas tax credit
no
to an
way.
Industry, oh, millions and millions.
In New Mexico.
In New Mexico. And that industry is obviously quite solid, except the problems now with oil being $27 a barrel.
And the problem with the fact that it is going to make the planet uninhabitable if we keep burning it.
Well, there is that minor problem.
There is that minor problem. Linda Siegel is with us every Friday during the course of the legislative session for the legislative update. Anything else you want to let us know before we go?
Well, starting on Monday, the regular schedule will begin for the legislature, where committees, bills will be assigned to committees, and committees will start hearing in the morning and the afternoon. And it's really good for our citizens of New Mexico to come and watch and see what their legislature is doing, and go on the legislative website and see if there's any bills that you really care about and want to call your legislator to support or oppose.
And the New Mexico legislative website is an excellent site, and legislators' doors are open to talk to citizens.
Absolutely.
I have written many emails over the years, and many legislators answer those emails.
Yes. And legislators want to hear from their constituents. They're not too interested in hearing from people who aren't in their district, but they love to hear from their constituents.
Linda Siegel, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
See you Friday. Next Friday.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.